The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station. It's 7:05 and 30 seconds. And the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. And I'm here with Jared. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
You know, it's nice that you and I can sit here like adults and discuss adult themes like Game of Thrones. Yeah. Yeah. I've never done this before in my life, you know. Actually, somebody went to see The Avengers. Is that the name of the movie?
That's right.
He comes out and says, I'm just so touched. Now, the guy's name is Tony Jackson. Now, Tony Jackson has been inducted into the Martial Arts Hall of Fame. He's a mixed martial arts fighter. You know, and the guy is tough. He goes, oh, it was touching. And I wrote back to him. I said, come on, man. It's just a movie, not like Game of Thrones.
I know. That's way realer.
Way realer. Okay. Yeah, I mean, how can you get you know, all these superheroes? I mean, in Game of Thrones, I mean, they have dragons. I mean, you can get your arms around dragons. But people that disappear, they never, you know, anyway. Okay, what's it look like for weather today?
It's currently 40 degrees. Today is going to be sunny, mostly clear. High of 84, low of 53. Tomorrow is going to be a high of 85, a low of 56. Sunny and mostly clear. On Sunday, we have a 30% chance of showers during the day, partly cloudy at night, with a high of 86, a low of 58. And on Monday, it's going to be mostly sunny, with a high of 81 and a low of 59.
You know, this is interesting because it says thunderstorms after 11 a.m. on Sunday. I wonder if that's going to happen.
So, I doubt it.
Yeah. Hey, the weather's brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, an Anderson business, a veteran-known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. If it's Friday, it's at 7, it's got to be Amy.
Good morning.
What do we have here today?
A dragon. No, I'm just kidding. A real-life dragon. No, actually, I brought a very cute little dog. His name is Pepper, and Pepper is about a year old, so he's just barely a year old. So he's very much still a puppy. He's like a Chihuahua Dachshund mix, or what people like to call a Chiweenie. He's very, very sweet, but he is very active. So I wouldn't put him as a lap dog, really. I mean, not at this stage in his life. He's pretty energetic. So he really likes to play fetch. He likes toys. He likes long walks. He does really good on the leash. He is learning to, you know, walk beside you and not kind of trip over you. So
he's a good dog. He just came over and we just loved on each other a little bit.
Yes,
there.
He's very, very sweet, very affectionate. He loves meeting new people. He's good with kids and other dogs.
He has no fear.
No fear.
Sometimes when you're around shelter animals and you put your hands around them, they have, you know, they're shy. But
yeah.
He does not shy. He comes over. He's wagging his tail. He's looking in the eye, too.
Yeah, he's very social.
Very social dog.
Yeah.
And he's small, but he is active. So
he is active,
this is somebody, if you had, is he good around kids?
Yeah, he's good with kids.
This is the kind of dog, because he's bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say he's bigger, he's a small dog, but he's not like a Chihuahua.
He's not like very delicate or anything.
Yeah, he's got some girth to him. So that means kids, you know, that are a little bit younger, five-year-olds, are not going to be able to, like, sling him around and
hurt
him.
And he's very tolerant of handling, so he's not going to get upset about, you know, being picked up or loved on.
He probably loves to be loved on.
He does, yes.
And my when my grandson was three, who is now going to be a teenager next week, so that was, you know, 10 years ago when we had an elk killer. I remember he came, might have been four, when they came, you know, to visit. I turned around and he had elk killer underneath the arms, you know. So you know how you pick him up, and so
the legs are dangling,
and he's walking around and he's happy. Oh gosh, he's happy, and elk killer is just kind of like, no, I'll go, okay.
Yeah, this is happening.
I'll just lick his hand.
And this is the kind of dog I believe this one is. Yes, and it is really important to teach children too, like. Kids can learn to be respectful for dogs that want to be around respectful children that aren't super rowdy or, you know, that kind of thing. So his adoption fee is only $25, thanks to the Bissell Pet Foundation, because starting tomorrow. So if you fall in love with him and adopt him today, it is our normal adoption fee. But tomorrow we are doing our Empty the Shelter event along with Pet Fest. So we have a lot of fun things going on tomorrow at Havens. From noon to 5 tomorrow, the weather's going to be perfect. Shasta Splash Dogs are going to be there. One of the big dock diving dogs, and it's really fun. We're going to have demonstrations, food, beer, vendors, contests. Yep, there's a beer garden. Pints and paws. There's going to be lots of
pints
booze.
And paws.
Lots of booze. So
you know, who comes up with all these little different things?
All of us.
You know, it's something with the cat, like purr and all this.
The adoption specials, like what we call them, is usually me. You know, or like as a group effort,
now,
we come up with something cute. So.
Starting tomorrow, everything's $25, right?
Yeah. So the Bissell Pet Foundation is an amazing foundation.
The
Bissell
vacuum.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Kathy Bissell is the one who founded the Pet Foundation, and she is a very huge supporter of shelter animals and has actually fostered lots of dogs herself. So,
well, when you've got like a 12,000-acre farm and things like that, you can probably foster a lot of dogs.
Well, actually, and a lot of their products, too, are really pet-friendly, which is really nice for people who do have dogs because, like, a lot of theirs, they are. Mm-hmm. That's specifically for pets. A lot of their vacuums are like their, you know,
dog hair.
Yeah, it's for dog hair, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing foundation that a few times a year sponsors adoption fees in the shelter. They've done it on the Empty the Shelter Day where they do like 100% free adoptions. This one, they are sponsoring all the adoptions down to 25. So they're sponsoring all the adoptions down to 25, but you'd still need to pay the licensing fee. So it's going to be $25 plus 10 for the licensing fee for dogs. Cats don't get licensed, so it's just 25. We have a lot of really amazing animals at Haven right now, and you can come down and meet them.
Okay,
come out and have fun with Pet Fest. It's pet friendly too. You can bring your dogs.
Yeah. You got to be on a leash though.
They do need to be on a leash.
And the kids.
Yes, the kids on a leash is for sure.
Hey, what's this little dog's name?
Pepper.
Pepper. Okay, I can. Oh, you know what? That's a good name for him. And he just, you know, he's quiet. He's not barking or anything. I'm sure
he's
playful.
Yeah, he is pretty quiet. Yeah.
And then all that. So this would be a great dog. But if you are somebody that is sedentary, is that the right word?
Yeah.
This may not be the best animal for you.
No, he's pretty he would do good with a home that was going to take the time to
exercise. Got a heavy yard, you know, because he'll probably run after a ball 1,000 times.
Oh, he will, yeah.
Okay, great. And as usual, Amy brings in just a great dog. It's short hair, too. That's the other. It's a big thing. It's short hair. What's your favorite?
Right now.
Okay, besides Pepper, who's your favorite animal out there?
Oh,
it needs to find a home.
Robin Thicke.
The big
meaty pit bull named Robin Thicke. He's like the sweetest, biggest cuddle bug in the whole world. No, he's still there. He hasn't been here. No, I was gonna bring him today, but I just brought a giant black dog last week.
Yeah, you did. That was
a
large
dog.
Is he gone?
He is. Yeah, he got adopted. Yeah, Dom got adopted. So Robin Thicke is super nice. There's a couple I'm like really obsessed with. So
okay, hon. You know what, Amy? Thank you so much. And I don't mean for coming in here and being cheerful because people don't know. Sometimes Amy isn't cheerful. She comes in
and that's a real mean.
And, well, you know, you're not mean, but you know what? You put your heart into this, and you know, and you can tell. You feel for these animals.
Yeah.
Your heart's so large, and you want just the best for them. So. And that's what we want. So go on down, get Pepper, and you won't be sorry.
And come have fun for Pet Fest.
Oh, gosh, tomorrow head on out for Pet Fest. Everybody, take your kids out there.
They have like a look-alike contest. It's really fun, like owner-dog look-alike. I don't know. I have to work, so it's less fun for me as it is for everyone else. But and we have the West Muxer Dog Show, too, which is really fun.
It's
like, you might not get into that purebred actual Westminster, but win West Muxer.
Do you know what your dogs need there at Haven Humane?
Hmm.
They need little sleep number beds. They could have, you know, you could adjust the firmness for them.
Yeah, they can adjust the entire bed with their teeth, though. That's what they do.
Oh, well, maybe sleep number isn't the best then for Haven Humane, but for all the people that work at Haven Humane.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine falling into that bed every night for a perfect night's sleep. That's sleep number. I know. It's a goal seldom achieved in regular beds.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But in sleep number, you can do that. In sleep number right now, it's got a great sale going on. You know, I've told you about the 360 smart beds. They're so smart, they sense your every move and automatically adjust to you so that you keep sleeping comfortably through the night. Well, now they've got a flex fit, smart, adjustable base that can bring the head up or the foot up for ultimate relaxation. If your partner snores, and I've heard a Brian Daly ad where his wife says he snores like a buffalo, I'm going to call Megan and say, Megan, maybe you need a Sleep Number smart bed with a flex fit that you can, when he starts to snore, you just kind of like move his head up and he'll stop snoring. Right now, you can save up to $1,000 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds when you add a smart adjustable base. Only for a limited time, though, and it's at the Sleep Number store over in the Target Shopping Center. Head on down there and ask yourself, how much is a good night's sleep worth? We'll be right back after these messages. And Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changethe culture.
Extreme Bulls, Bullfighters Only, Barrels, Chuck Wagon Races, and Kids Mutton Busting. Wednesday, May 15th, a bull riding returns to the Reading Rodeo sponsored by Crown Motors. Opening night is wild with extreme bull riding, matching the toughest bulls with top-notch competitors. Speed and grace with women's barrel racing, insane Chuck Wagon Racing, and Kids Mutton Busting. Count on Reading Rodeo for action-packed thrills and excitement. Book your tickets for Bull Riding Rodeo and Steak Feed at ReadingRodeo.com or at the Rodeo Ticket Office.
Wind River Resort and Casino is offering a fabulous Mother's Day brunch on Sunday, May 12th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The buffet includes omelet station, prime rib, roast turkey, smoked salmon, and steamed clams with an array of delicious trimmings and desserts. Adults, $25. Wind River Club card. Children, $11. Kids 5 and under eat free. All ladies will be entered into a drawing for a $150 Wind River Retreat gift certificate. Reservations suggested. Call 1-800-280-UWIN. For complete menu, download the Wind River app. It's better at the river.
What would be great after a long day at the office? Meeting up with friends for drinks, laughs, hoots, and giggles at a live comedy show. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino in Overtime as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with comedy night. Enjoy an amusing, knee-slapping good time with stand-up comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8, so grab your friends, head to Wind River Resort and Casino, and enjoy the show with different comedians each week. No cover charge. Download the Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and ask me how you can have us pay for your move or how you can save $1,000 when you move in. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell Avenue, or check out our website at river-commons.com.
Hey Hey, folks. Good morning, welcome, and thank you for tuning in to KCNR's Friday morning segment of Girl on the Street, where relevant topics of conversation are raised and answered by those within the Reading community. I'm your host, Madison Cox. Stay tuned as I eagerly take to the streets to see who will get chatty with Maddie.
Good morning, and we're here with Chatty with Maddie here on KCNR, Free Fire Radio, 96.5 and 1460. Maddie is now a college graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, 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 dun. University graduate. Dun, dun, dun. And if you're looking for somebody with a degree in communications and?
Emphasis in public relations, and I also have a Bible and theology minor, just to throw that in there.
Just throw that in there. You might want to think about this young lady. She is striking, and I mean that in the sense that she's tall. She is very articulate, as everybody can tell, and very smart. And she's got a lot of initiative. So I'm just throwing that out there right now. You know, we'd love to find a way to keep you here, there, kiddo. And I'm gonna throw an idea out to you for the summer. Okay, what was the subject this week?
Yeah, so this week, I think a couple days ago, we've been seeing in the news more about this crisis in Venezuela and as they're undergoing a revolution. So I went out and asked people whether or not we should be, as a nation, involved in foreign affairs, you know, and more specifically, whether we should lend our military and political support to other countries.
Well, we've got to be involved. I think everybody understands we have to get involved in foreign affairs because you can keep us from being involved militarily if you do that. But what happens when that time comes, like Venezuela, where the people voted one way and the guy that's controlling the army kind of ignores it? And I, you know what, when you said that, I said, well, I'll be interested to see what kind of comments we get.
Yeah.
Because how many people really follow this? I mean, you know, we do, but not as close as I should, because somebody asked me a question the other day and I was kind of like blank.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a bigger issue than some people think, you know, because we think about people going over, you know, and serving and doing things like that. But also, you know, Russia's involved, you know, over in Venezuela right now. Yeah. We've got China. So it's a bigger issue. And
it's come on to a real big world issue now.
Mm-hmm.
And Maduro had been, from what I understand, Pompeo had talked him to leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually on the plane.
And then he didn't go.
And the Russians talked him off the plane.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that kind of bothers me because, you know, Russia has been trying to get their foot into this hemisphere for, what, 70 years? Mm-hmm. Well, ever since World War II was over.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go.
Do you think the U.S. should be involved? Or?
I feel to an extent that they should be involved. I don't feel like we should put our country into a depression or have our country suffer in any way and our citizens suffer to go help another country. But as long as we're okay over here and everything's safe with us and money's going good, then yeah, we should help our United Nations.
I think sometimes it's warranted, but I think it can be overdone as well. There's been time, I think, where the United States have overstepped their bounds. This might be one of those cases. I'm not inclined, if the U.S. is not threatened in any way, to necessarily go in and intervene in Venezuela situations.
America needs to make a decision on whether they want to be a humanitarian country. But on the other hand, you got to think about yourself. I don't know. I think we are sticking our noses out a little bit too far.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's my opinion is that, yes, we're overstepping our boundaries on trying to police other countries that we don't have anything to do with. And probably should mind our own business on that. I don't believe that we should loan our militaries out to other countries. There's no benefit in that.
Venezuela's been, you know, this has been coming for a long time. A lot of things going on down there and heartbreaking situations for people. So it's a very tough call. It's a crazy world right now.
I'd say at least a little bit, to the point where it doesn't, like, at least it, to the point where it doesn't inconvenience us that, like, that greatly. Like, we can at least help a little bit.
I feel like we definitely have the money to pitch in certain areas. And we could definitely help whatever we can.
If you think about it, like, you're helping them in this situation, they could possibly bring, like, a benefit to another situation later on in the future, sort of, like, help them now to help us then.
So forming allies.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it now instead of waiting until it gets really big and we can't do that much.
Yes, definitely. So you guys think
that we should help if we can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
especially like informing allies or, you know, we're, it's going to be a benefit somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we should address the issues that we have here first and possibly, you know, take this later? Or
possibly. It's you kind of have to fix yourself before you can fix somebody else. You know, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
And so I think we have probably some of our own domestic issues that really need to be dealt with first before we try to delve into another country's issues.
If you live in Reading, you're pretty much getting an upfront view of America's poverty. There's a lot of poverty here in this town, believe it or not. And that goes for everywhere in America. So it should be addressed, and it should be a number one thing that any kind of politician should look at before they start venturing off into other things. Once America's right, then you can go out and help every other country become right. But I think that to do it in the proper way would be to start here at home first.
Okay. You know what you just did, and I heard you do it. You just formed the opinions of like four people. the people you were talking to, and when you said, "Don't you think?" and they all go, "Oh yeah."
Mm.
Well, you just formed their opinion right there. Yeah. So now this last guy, I find that interesting. Do you remember who he is?
I do, yes. He was actually the first gentleman I talked to.
Okay. And his age, would you say?
Late 40s, early 50s, maybe.
Okay. Now, what he's saying is fix America.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we fix our family and our home, then we can reach out and start helping people.
Mm-hmm.
We can never forget that the United States, being who the United States is, think of it as like a multidimensional chess game that you're playing here, but at the same time, you've got to play around the world. We're sending warships through the Straits of Taiwan. Why? Because the Chinese are really putting a lot of pressure on Taiwan at this point. And so you've got to have that going. And at the same time, we've got Central America, which is sending hundreds of thousands of migrants up here, trying to get across, trying to escape from what's going on in Venezuela and Guatemala and Uruguay and all these other places. So you've got to be able to, combat that or handle that. But he's right, is that we have to – let's get – and this is one of the things Trump said, that people are saying, well, he's a nationalist. Well, there's nothing wrong with being a nationalist. A nationalist, that does not mean you're a bad person. It means you want to put your country first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we need to make put our country first and fix the poverty, fix our roads, fix those things.
Yeah.
So I can understand what he was saying. The idea of putting armed forces down there, I am totally against.
Mm-hmm.
I am totally against putting them down there. We did that a lot in the earlier part of this, of the 19th century there. In 1900 through there, we were in the Banana Wars. We were in a lot of different places
mm-hmm.
down there.
Yeah, and people, they seemed more for sending relief, like humanitarian relief. But when it came to military and political involvement, people were more like, okay, well, maybe we need to take a step back and evaluate this before we do this, So people are much more hesitant to say, yeah, send our military over there. But humanitarian efforts, everybody believes that there's, poverty in other countries. We're very blessed to live in America. But like they were saying, there's poverty here as well.
And there is. And the thing about it, too, when you try to help people, and I'll just use an example of Somalia, because Somalia is still a third world nation. I mean, it can be fourth world if there's a fourth world. When we went in there, George Bush the first sent us in there, there wasn't anything that Somalia could provide to the United States. I mean, big oil, no oil. I mean, their beaches have sharks all around them. They are in the Strait of Hormuz, but the people were starving. They were literally starving. A million people were dying like that. And Bush went in there to reestablish order so that people could be fed, to take the warlords like Idid and push them back, which we did
mm-hmm.
when we had, when we landed 20,000 Marines there. And when you get to see that country and you realize what you're doing, I mean, it was something that we needed to do. Now, of course, it ended up with Black Hawk Down and a big battle there in the city of Mogadishu. But we were doing something to help people. We were bringing in aid. Now, at that point, you had to do it at the point of a gun. other countries we can push aid in. But the part, the problem is that you have these strong men like Maduro, is you can send in a lot of aid. It will probably never get to the people it's supposed to. They'll turn around, sell it, and take the money. So there's a lot of things. Can you hang on for a few minutes?
Of course.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. They have done so much for our community and are doing more every day. You know, first of all, their cardiovascular unit is in the nation's top 50 hospitals. Think about that. Top 50 hospitals right here in Redding, California, in Shasta County. Cardiac, vascular surgeons, interventional radiologists doing heart and vascular disease, all of that. Emergency rooms, strokes, they have it all. And I have a personal friend that's been over there for the last few days, and I can't say enough about the care he's getting over there. Shasta Regional Medical Center. We'll be right back after these messages. 7:31 in the morning, it's 67 degrees, going up to about 84 today. It's going to be a beautiful day.
And the Bandit. Throw in chuck wagon races, roping, bronc riding, and kids mutton busting. It's another year of action-packed Redding Rodeo, May 15th through the 18th, as the toughest competitors challenge the best rodeo stock on the West Coast for top prize money. Book your tickets for bull riding, rodeo, and the annual steak feed at ReddingRodeo.com or at the Rodeo Ticket Office. Sponsored by Coors, Tri-Counties Bank, California Highway Patrol, Dignity Health, and Pendleton Whiskey.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Shasta Damboree presents the annual Boomtown Festival celebrating the people of Shasta Lake City and the community they love Saturday, May 4th. Begin with pancake breakfast 6 to 10 a.m. at the Shasta Lake Fire Hall, followed by the Boomtown Parade. Entry free online. Party in the park all day with live music, free kids activities, health and craft fair, and plenty of food and drinks all in Claringo Park. Enjoy the Art Walk and Farmer's Market 4:30 to 9 p.m. For more information, go online to ShastaDamboree.org and follow their Facebook page. Celebrate the heritage of Shasta Lake City at the Shasta Damboree Boomtown Festival this Saturday.
Look at Brian Dolly's record in Sacramento. Dolly voted for amnesty for 11 million illegal aliens, granting them all the rights of citizenship, even though they break our laws. And Dolly voted against President Trump's border security plan. Brian Dolly even praises the liberal assembly speaker from Los Angeles, the leading advocate for sanctuary laws. Living in Sacramento has changed Brian Dolly. Now he's part of the problem.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Bulls.
Bulls, Broncs, Barrels, and the Bandit. Throw in chuck wagon races, roping, bronc riding, and kids mutton busting. It's another year of action-packed Reading Rodeo, May 15th through the 18th, as the toughest competitors challenge the best rodeo stock on the West Coast for top prize money. Book your tickets for bull riding, rodeo, and the annual stake feed at ReadingRodeo.com or at the Rodeo Ticket Office. Sponsored by Coors, Tri-Counties Bank, California Highway Patrol, Dignity Health, and Pendleton Whiskey.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl Bott and Maddie Cox are here today, and this portion of the show brought to you by our good friends over at River Commons Senior Living. River Commons Senior Living, one of California's premier retirement community. It's, you know, you think of it as people just say, you know, I'm tired of taking care of the yard, taking care of the cooking, taking care of all that. I just want to concentrate on, you know, reading, my hobbies, traveling. You know, I can have my dog or cat with me. River Commons Senior Living, a gourmet chef over there, activity directors, gosh, everything you have that you can imagine, and especially that part about being pet friendly. To find out more about River Commons, you need to go over and visit, talk to the people, and you do that by calling Brian at 238-5981, or just, I mean, stop by River Commons Senior Living at 301 Hartnell Avenue, right downtown, right next to the VA clinic, too, if I may say that. And I know there are people there that they were burnt out in the car fire and just said, you know, I'm going to take my life easier. I'm going to River Commons Senior Living. So, again, 238-5981. Now, we have Christina on the phone, and good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Oh, gosh. You know what? If I was any better, Maddie would have to hit me with a stick, you know?
Oh.
So, you've got something big coming up here.
I do. I'm with the Reading Women's March, and we have a special event happening on Saturday, May 4th, so tomorrow, from 3:30 to 5 at the library.
Okay.
It's called Women Lead. And it's going to be a special event with some guest speakers where we talk about, you know, we all march in January for women, but what happens after? And it's going to be talking about ways to take some action steps and, you know, harness that energy into some tangible action items. And these speakers are going to be able to show women paths to leadership and if they're interested in political aspirations or even just helping their local community, we can show them the way.
Okay, now, who are some of your speakers?
Well, we have Kimberly Ellis, and she's the former executive director of Emerge California.
Uh-huh.
That organization, you know, trains women to take active leadership roles in local and regional and statewide politics.
Uh-huh.
So she's really just this impactful woman. We're very, very excited to have her. She's from out of the area. And,
you know, I am so up for that. I think women should get as much blame as men, okay? I want you all in there. I want you all in there, too, so we can say we can't just keep pointing it at men going, gosh, you are screwed up. Now we need to have women in that equal opportunity of being screwed up. Or,
you know what? We're
being
all
leaders.
For equal opportunity.
That's me. Equal opportunity there. I think everybody should have that. Okay. What else?
Yeah. We also have Rachel Freeman Sowers, who's she's local, and she's actually a psychotherapist and also kind of a life coach, and she's going to be speaking just about harnessing the internal power of women and the ways that you can kind of, I guess, harness yourself up and get to whatever aspiration you dare to go to.
Well, that's cool. That's great.
Yeah.
Focusing your energy, which you have boundless amounts of.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, women are so powerful and, you know, men too. But also, we want to make sure that if they use their voices, if they want to, and they can, you know, go into whatever path they'd like to go to. And so we want to make sure that we can harness that energy that we gather every January. Women march with us, and they get so excited, and we go after things, and then we want to say, okay, now what? What do we do with that?
Yeah, now
and
what?
This is a way to do that.
Yeah. Well, you ought to have Madison Cox, who's sitting with me right now. So Madison is does our interviews with people on the street, and she perfectly fits everything you're talking about right now. Just graduated from Simpson University, is going out in the world, but she is she's one of those people that has got a firm grasp of where she wants to go. And she is, you know, she's trained herself on how to get there. And I think that's what you're looking at is for people, instead of using their energy in a thousand different ways, to focus that energy and then go forward.
Definitely, to get inspired and really realize their potential to do great things.
Yeah.
So I love that. You should come on Saturday at 3:30.
Well, you should, and you should come on to the show sometime and bring some of the ladies that you're just talking about, and
yeah.
Let's have a show about that. I'd love to do that.
We would love that.
Okay. Well, you've got our phone number now. So you give us a call and maybe give us a call and maybe bring a couple people in after the march, and we'll talk about what was accomplished.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for letting us let your listeners know about tomorrow's event at 3:30 at the library. We hope to see many of them there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Now. That's right, Star Wars. In the in our studio, we have Chewbacca. Okay. Hey, we have sad news today. Peter Mayhew, 74 years old, the man that played the original Wookiee, Chewbacca, passed away yesterday. And that was, by the way, Maddie says, I can do that. You know, I haven't found anything that Maddie can't do. Oh, no, I can make that noise. I can make that sound. And you did. That was great.
Oh, yeah. I grew up with Star Wars, and I love it. Sad to see Peter Mayhew go, but, you know, he was a great guy, a great character, and we all loved him, too.
You know, I looked at all the comments. Everybody made on this man, from Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, everybody that worked with him. And they all said the same thing. What a very nice man he was, and how smart, and how he devoted himself to making Star Wars better. And, you know, he would go to all the events and all these things. And it's kind of funny because I remember seeing Star Wars. I saw the original Star Wars when it came out, before your time probably. And it completely changed movies. You know, every so often there's a movie that comes out that completely changes everything. That changed it. That launched the following series. I think it launched the Marvel and the DC Comics series. Mm-hmm. I think that was the leader. That was the first.
Yeah.
And people just went, it was just a killer out there as far as the box office. Now, Mark Hamill, who was in all three of these, are you aware that he was in a very bad car wreck after the first one?
I did not know that.
He was in a very bad car wreck after the first Star Wars, and he smashed his face up, mm-hmm. and went through the windshield and all this, and so they rebuilt his face and they delayed shooting till he got better. But if you look at the first Star Wars and then go to the second one, his face is different.
Yeah.
And you can't completely reconstruct somebody like that and it be the same, but. In fact, probably it was better because he had aged and they'd been going through the through the wars and all that. You know, if you don't watch Star Wars, that's fine. But it was just so huge back then. And now since then they've had 48 other Star Wars, and every one of them has gotten a big acclaim except the last one, Han Solo,
mm-hmm.
which tanked.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know if it was the actor, if it was just maybe people were moving on.
For me personally. You liked it, Jay?
Did you like it, Jay?
Yeah, I'm not even a huge Star Wars fan, but I liked it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, and I never saw it, and it's kind of unusual. But you know what? I think I only saw, one other Star Wars, as it came up, lately. I don't usually go to them because I saw the first three, and it had the actors, and it had that continuation. I think that, and they came out one after another, I think every other year, every 2 years, that... And then my life, of course, as you go on, your life changes, too. But,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, going back to, getting into other countries, we're still in Afghanistan right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have been there since 2001. And if my math is okay, and it's 18 years.
Yeah.
And we're still losing people there. We just lost three Marines there a couple of weeks ago to an IED. And another American that was working with them. I don't know if that one's ever going to end. I'd like to see what the exit strategy is in Afghanistan. I mean, we were the only other nation. We were the only nation that could come in there and beat them. We beat the Taliban back. We took back a lot of that country. We tried to, starting to have you know, open elections. The Russians were chased out of there with our help, intervention by sending them shoulder-fired missiles. Yeah, I hope, and one of the things Trump ran on was keeping us out of these things, and I would hope that you know that. Just because you want to work on things that we need to fix in America, and I was heartened by Pelosi, Schumer, and Trump sitting down and actually coming together with a bipartisan plan that would to work on the infrastructure.
And I think that's a great step too, because you talk about politics today, or Republicans and Democrats, it's so divided. So for them to sit down and have a bipartisan discussion and come to an agreement, hopefully, about something, you know, that's a big step. And I think we should celebrate the little victories.
Oh, no, we should. And then Congressman LaMalfa just introduced a bill with a Democrat to try and get this under control about the tax on heavy trucks. It started, in, believe it or not, in World War One. This tax was to help pay for the war. It was like 1916 this tax was voted, and what's still here. You know, to fund World War One, and I'm not sure that they were still doing that, but that money is still being used, and it's a heavy tax on our over the road trucks. That it's and in fact, and it's on the sale, and so it's a very erratic tax. So, and it adds money to have for people trying to start their own business or trying to continue their businesses. So, if Congressman LaMalfa, who is scheduled to be on today, and I haven't heard anything, and I usually hear something by now. That's one of the things I want to talk to him about, too. Hey, we got to take a break. We're here with Madison Cox. This is the longest we've ever had been able to have you on, too, and I'm enjoying this. By Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell has been helping people since 1993. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. And she's got two separate offices here. It's the same place, but it's two separate offices. Maxwell Insurance and Financial at 1378 Hilltop Drive, next to Members First Credit Union. She's helped so many people after these fires, and she's still helping them. And if you've got a question about your insurance and you don't seem to be getting the right answers, or maybe things there haven't been explained to you the way they should, give Judy a call, 221-0441. She's helping people that aren't even her customers, because she wants to help people in this community, and that's what Judy Maxwell does. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back after these messages, 7:47 in the morning. The weather is 56 degrees. Move it over so I can see it, buddy. I can't see it, though.
It's a 54 or 56?
I can't see the you put it behind something, your thing there. Oh, okay, 56 degrees here, going up to 84. All right. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer, and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Extreme Bulls, Bullfighters Only, Barrels, Chuck Wagon Races, and Kids Mutton Busting. Wednesday, May 15th, the bull riding returns to the Reading Rodeo, sponsored by Crown Motors. Opening night is wild with extreme bull riding, matching the toughest bulls with top-notch competitors. Speed and grace with women's barrel racing, insane Chuck Wagon Racing, and Kids Mutton Busting. Count on Reading Rodeo for action-packed thrills and excitement. Book your tickets for Bull Riding Rodeo and Steak Feed at ReadingRodeo.com or at the Rodeo Ticket Office.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Why don't you head on down there this weekend and see just what John and Sarah have in a selection of firearms, both long guns and pistols, shotguns, all the accessories you can think of, locally owned, locally operated, great customer service, veterans get discounts. All of this at Bastiani Arms at 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. A man was arrested here in Reading. He was possession of heroin for sale, meth for sale. He had a body armor, which is illegal for a felon. This is the 18th time this guy's been arrested. I hope that the DA will bundle these charges as they do and bundle these. So when this guy goes in front of a judge, he goes away for 2 or 3 years so we can get him off the streets. Yeah, he goes to the jail, but he gets off the streets and we get him into the jail and then we can move him to another facility. So, because he's going to be with us for 3 years. If he's only going to be with us for 6 months, sometimes that's harder. They can't move anybody that's awaiting trial, and that's the vast majority of the people sitting in the jail right now. Last time I heard, it was like 27 homicides in this group. So 18 times, it just seems to be a little obsessive there when you think about it. I talked to the people down at Henderson Open Spaces. That's not gone away. It's not gone away, but it has gotten better. In the sense that, the police are down there. They're not camping where they did. They're camping back further. There's less of them. But that battle for the Henderson Open Space is not finished. Now, ideas for that. They have some ideas, and I think they're great. There's a road that people can drive their vehicles down and unload all this stuff. They need to put in on that road, it's a dirt road, they need to put those barriers across it. Either, the Texas barriers or these ones you see along the interstate in the middle there, the concrete barriers, so nobody can drive through there. And here's the other thing they could do. They could just fence that whole thing off, except for having like the, like almost like turnstiles that you get in, but you can't bring in shopping carts, but you can walk in with no problem, and then fence off the rest of it. You don't have to fence off along Henderson Drive because you got homes there. But the rest of it, yeah, you could fence it off, and you could put in the barriers so they can't drive cars down there. How much money does that cost? It doesn't cost anything to do the barriers to stop that. So that would stop the cars from going back there. Now, it would stop the police from going back there, too, but once you stop the they can put a gate there with locks on it so the police could drive through there. But nobody else is going to be able to get through there. You know, I don't care how they do it. It's just, you know, I'm sure the city can figure it out on how to do that. Roger Moore was here the other day, and as everybody knows, Roger is going to retire. 31 years. He's been outstanding officer on the police department and an outstanding chief. And as he said, though, you know, when they were interviewing him, he says, look, if you want somebody that's going to be here 5, 6, 7 years, it's not me. And so one of the, you know, that one of the criteria is how long you're going to be here. But there's a lot of other criteria, too. But that means that when Roger retires, he'll be the fifth police chief that retires. Four since I've been here. Of course, Bob Blankenship was on for 13 years, and then Leonard Modi was on for 6. Peter Hansen for 3. Rob Pelletti for 5. And then Roger Moore for 2. So, should one of the prerequisites for the police chief be, we're going to have this guy for at least 5 years? Now, if that's the case, you've got to take a look at the leadership that's in the Reading Police Department, which, you know, I'm sure there's probably 3 or 4 men or women in the police department that could take over as chief, and they're going to just do an outstanding job. That's just the quality of people we have here. But most of them are reaching that 27-year range. And when they hit 30, they're going to retire. That's just the way it is, because when they work beyond that, as Roger has, that's almost like for free. Because they're already getting 30, they're already getting almost their full pay. So how important a prerequisite is it to have somebody that's going to be here for 5 years? As we get deeper into the police department, because it's changed, the retirement step to, I think you have to be 55 before you can retire. Now, a chief could be 55. There's no problem with that. He's not the 20 to 30 to 40-year-old that's fighting on the streets on a daily basis. He's in the leadership position where, you know, he may go in there as backup, but we try hard for him not to get into the fight. So we could do that. But, you know, I think, so we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're going to go out nationally and say, who wants to be the police chief here? Believe me, you're going to get a lot of resumes to come to Redding, California, because, you know, we talk about how, you know, what's our crime rate? Well, our crime rate, you know, compared to a lot of other places is really low. We have a lot of, you know, we have the auto theft, but nobody's getting killed. You're having everything else. All the other crime stats are dropping. So if you're somebody there and you say, well, you know, I'm looking to, you know, to be a police chief. I've got all the qualifications and I live here in Nebraska. But it's going to take somebody a while to learn Redding. Redding's not the easiest place to learn. You know, there's so many different facets, can I say that, to Redding? So, and the police play a big part of it, but they're constantly being poked at, not as much because of response time. Well, you can't have response time unless you have more police. So they're working on that with more community service officers, as you know. And then, of course, you're going to hear about the tax. You want more police, then we're going to have to pass a tax because we need more money. And one of the one gentleman that's been mentioned in this, Chad, who is one of the people that is leading up the group to look at putting a tax initiative on the ballot, is going to be our guest. You know, he and I have been playing phone tag, but he wants to come on. I want him to come on and to talk about this. Another group we want to have on, of course, is the ones opposing this housing development down there in Bella Vista and the impact it's going to have on them. And we want to have them on the show to see what they're talking about why they want to stop the 166 homes. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we get back at 8:05, I guess we're going to find out if Congressman Lamothe is going to join us. We'll be right back after these messages and the news. Carl and Linda Bott. This is KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Your talk radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Short and to the point, the content of one of President Trump's latest tweets. The president, referring to the government's April employment report, American employers grew their payrolls by 263,000 jobs. Economist Diane Swank says we saw strong gains in professional business services.
The gains are in everything from admin services to computer programmers and the sophisticated work they do. And that reflects the increased demand for automation, AI, and how companies are now applying those new technologies, which could mean more productivity growth down the road.
The unemployment rate has dropped to a 49-year low, 3.6%. President Trump says enough is enough. He says it's time for Democrats to let go of the Russia collusion delusion, as well as all the baseless talk of obstruction.
It's done. We've been through this. Nobody has ever done what I've done. I've given total transparency. It's never happened before like this.
The president on Fox News Night with Shannon Bream. Congressional Republicans echo the president's sentiments.
Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina says he knows Democrats are disappointed.
You wanted to prove that he obstructed. I get that.
But he says it's time for his Democrat colleagues to admit what's clear to much of the country.
The president is not guilty of a crime. The president is not guilty of obstruction of justice.
So after what he calls
one of the most rigorous investigations in modern history,
Tillis says it's time for Democrats to, in his words, drop the theater
and get back to work.
Bob Agnew reporting.
Facebook banning Louis Farrakhan, Alex Jones, and Milo Yiannopoulos, among others, from its main service and from Instagram, saying they violated the company's ban on hate and violence. Stocks are higher on Wall Street. The Dow up 146 points. The S&P ahead 22, the NASDAQ trading 97 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Everyone's talking about Better Together, the exciting new talk show by women and for women airing daily on TBN Television Network. Join host Lori Crouch and some awesome women of faith and action. Better Together is a fast-moving 30 minutes of honest, engaging conversation about all sorts of issues. No topic is off limits. That's what Better Together is all about, living, loving, and growing in God's grace together as friends and family. Join in weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific for Better Together, exclusively on TBN.
Email phishing attacks cost businesses billions annually in real cash, data loss, and brand damage. Phishing emails are hard to detect because the messages appear to be legitimate to unsuspecting employees. Introducing Barracuda Fish Line, a groundbreaking cloud-based solution designed to help employees recognize sophisticated email phishing attacks through interactive training reinforced by continuous simulation. Transform your employees from a liability into a line of defense. Go to barracuda.com/PL to learn more.
Hoping to spur peace negotiations, Afghanistan's president ordering the release of 175 Taliban detainees.
President Ghani announced the release of Taliban prisoners and said they'd be welcomed in Kabul. It was a concrete response to the Lloyd Yurga's demands, which also included a timetable for the withdrawal of foreign troops, a Taliban political office in Kabul, and a ceasefire. President Ghani said a ceasefire must be bilateral. So the key question is how the Taliban now responds. It's currently focused on its own talks with the United States and so far refuses to engage with a government in Kabul, which it sees as illegitimate.
The BBC's Jill McGivering. The ringleader of a plot to take six rebels from Australia in a motorboat to the southern Philippines to overthrow the provincial government there has been sentenced by an Australian judge to 7 years in prison. News and analysis at townhall.com. Federal health regulators deciding to allow a certain type of breast implant to remain on the market despite cancer concerns.
The Food and Drug Administration says the risk of contracting a rare type of lymphoma or other health issues from implants does not warrant a national ban. Almost all the cancer cases involve a textured implant, now banned in France, but it accounts for less than 10% of the U.S. market. Health regulators are considering bold warnings for implants to make patients more aware of the risks. There have been more than 600 cases of the cancer worldwide among an estimated 10 million people with implants. One researcher says she believes doctors and patients will choose to avoid the textured type. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
India's eastern coast taking a beating from a powerful cyclone. More than a million people been evacuated. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, the 3rd of May, Cinco de Mayo, Sunday. Another reason for Americans to drink and party and on something that most Mexicans down in Mexico don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo, okay? Anyway, hey, the news is brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Jared, what's it look like for weather here for the weekend, buddy?
It is currently 55 degrees, and today it's going to be sunny and mostly clear, high of 84, a low of 53. Tomorrow is going to be sunny and mostly clear, high of 85, a low of 56. On Sunday, we have a chance of showers during the day, 30%, a high of 86, a low of 58. And on Monday, it's going to be mostly sunny, a high of 81 and a low of 59.
Okay. Hey, the weather report's brought to you by, that chance of thunderstorms. I'm just it's kind of concerning a little bit because I'm going to be out on the range that day. But there's an advanced pistol craft class. It's a great class, very manpower intensive because we do a lot of different skills. But it goes all day. But my part is I'm going to be teaching them the skills and have them practicing it. And then when all the scenarios are being run, I'm going to be out of there. So I may be looking at that sky and say, okay, you've learned enough. I'm going to turn you loose for lunch and then come back and shoot in this thunderstorm. Anyway, hey, look, the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, a veteran-owned company. Chuck and Judy Kennedy, super people. Down there, they give discounts for seniors and veterans. They've won awards for hiring veterans, and they've got a program where if you were in the fire and you're living out on your property in an RV or a trailer, that you have a 7-gallon tank that you have to unhook every week, take it down, turn the pilot lights off, on. He's going to put a 120-gallon tank on your property right there, right next to your home, and fill it up for you. He's not going to charge you for that tank. And he's going to give you a great price on the propane that's in it. This is what he's trying to do to help the people that have survived the car fire, car and campfire. So give him a call at 365-3793. Now, Congressman LaMalfa will be calling us. I just talked with his people back there. I want to do a shout out, though, to Jared. Jared, how long have you been with us now, buddy?
I believe it's been about 4 years.
4 years. And probably for the first time ever. My hair is longer than Jared's, and I'm going for it, buddy. I'm going for the long hair.
Let's see that ponytail.
Well, you know what? People don't believe it, but at one point in my life, I had a ponytail when I was working a contract one time. That. Big mustache, all that kind of stuff, dressed in dark clothing. So I'm kind of letting my hair grow just to see what it's like. I'm supposed to get a haircut today. I'll probably wander down there and just tell them, just trim around the edges, around the ears, the neck. And don't touch anything else. And just watch them try to figure that one out, or try to handle that down at Cypress Square Barbershop. Other things that are going on. You know what? Rodeo is starting. It starts, of course, on the 15th with the Bulls and Barrels. But on Sunday, May 5th, we've got the Top Hand Dinner at the Riverview Golf and Country Club. No host cocktails at 6 p.m. and dinner at 7. Check with Asphalt Cowboys for tickets. And there's so many Asphalt Cowboys around. You know, we should make them wear those yellow shirts all the time so you can identify them. And then on Monday, May 13th, there's so many things going on. Well, you know, on the 6th, then, on the next day, they have the Asphalt Cowboys Golf Tournament out of Gold Hills. And then the kickoff barbecue and dance, come one, come all, Reading Rodeo Grounds. And I believe that that's the time that they're going to start doing, because they have so many kids that wanted to be in mutton busting. Now, mutton busting has got to be one of my favorite parts of the rodeo. These kids come out on these sheep, and they see who can last the longest. Some of them last when the gate opens up, the sheep comes out, and the kid's not on him. You know, just didn't quite make it out of the chute. Others of them will hang on to that sheep all the way across the arena, and these sheep, you know, are running and jumping, and it's great. Now, because so many kids enter, and they never get a chance, you know, because you've only got so many spots each night for the rodeo. Well, they're going to have and something called slack. Slack is where you have so many people entered into an event, whether it's steer roping or if it's the barrel racing and all this. They can only take so many per night. I think it's like 10. And so what they're going to do is they're going to bring in, like, they've got 143 kids that want to ride the mutton, be the mutton buster. So they're bringing in like 143 kids and something like 300 sheep. And so is it going to be ridden once? And they put them, and they're going to do that on Saturday, May 11th, right, you know, during that barbecue and dance, or right before that. So it's, you know, it's free. So just go on out there and watch this. This could be great. And then a Monday, special kids day by invitation only. Monday in the evening, the Asphalt Cowboys Chili Cook-Off. Linda and I will be judges that night. And if we're not back on Tuesday, you're going to know why. Because sometimes the chili they have there, it's got to be edible. That's one of the rules. Can you believe that? Must be edible. I wonder what that means. They're also going to have the quick draw contest. And then Tuesday, here we go, the bank hold up, lone stranger and his unidentified accomplice.
Let's go back to that chili thing. I think that means you can't put pure capsaicin oil in it.
Oh, gosh. No. You got to, you know what? Some of the chili we have tasted in the past.
It can't be made of only habaneros.
Linda has, she's put the spoon in, and it's gotten up to her, and she's got great, she has a great ability to, of her nose, it smells, I mean, things like, she said, you know, I'm smelling, I think we have a gas leak someplace, it's outside. And we brought somebody out to look at it, and he finally found it. It was a little, but her nose is so sensitive like that. When that chili got up to her lips and she smelled it, she puts it back down. She goes, no, there's no way this is going in my mouth. And I went, what? And I stuck it in my mouth. And I went, whoa, yes, you know, tears running down my face. Anyway, that's going to be, and y'all can come out to that. That's, you know, it's free. Come on out and take a look at it, because we're going to have the quick draw contest and, of course, the bank hold up. And Wednesday, Bulls and Barrels. Linda and I are going to be out there. You got to think about this. An evening of extreme bulls. This is the extreme bulls, ladies barrel races, chuck wagon races, mutton busting, and they've got three bullfighters that come out at the end, and they get out there with some bulls, and they get graded on how they perform with the bulls. Now think about that. Putting yourself out there, running over, slapping them in the face, jumping over them, giving them a big kiss on the ear, all these things these guys do. This is going to be a great week. Then Marine Corps Mounted Color Guard, again, is coming in, and they're going to be there for the Thursday performance, the Friday performance, and, of course, the Saturday performance, and they'll be in the parade. But they're having the first night of the Reading Rodeo after the Extreme Bulls will be on Thursday, the 16th. Pancake breakfast at Roaring Gulch with 10,000 of your closest friends. We're going to be on a remote that morning. But as soon as we're finished, grab your stuff and come on down, Jared, and get your pancake breakfast. I think it's like tickets right now are $4, $5 at the event. And then Chicks and Chaps, the rodeo that night, Saturday, and Saturday night, of course, the Reading Rodeo Parade. Just outstanding. All these things going on. And, you know, with Rodeo Week coming out, but it starts already. It starts this Sunday. Last night, let me see. Well, I tell you what, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages. But this portion of the show brought to you by friends over at Alliance Heating and Air. Now, you heard them saying we're going to be getting up in the 90s next week. Well, Alliance Heating and Air, if you haven't had them come out and check your filters, check those air ducts, make sure that your air conditioning is working optimally. Because if it's not, you're going to be using a lot of electricity that you do not need to use. Like, we always have them come in and look at our thermostat. Sometimes they have to adjust that thermostat. And Alliance Heating and Air can work on any type of cooling systems. People have trained, well-trained, go to all these schools, highly professional, and voted best in the North State. Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Alliance Heating and Air. We'll be right back.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Bulls, Bronx, Barrels, and the Bandit. Throw in chuck wagon races, roping, bronc riding, and kids mutton busting. It's another year of action-packed Reading Rodeo, May 15th through the 18th, as the toughest competitors challenge the best rodeo stock on the West Coast for top prize money. Book your tickets for bull riding, rodeo, and the annual steak feed at ReadingRodeo.com or at the Rodeo Ticket Office. Sponsored by Coors, Tri-Counties Bank, California Highway Patrol, Dignity Health, and Pendleton Whiskey.
Gather your friends to spend a hilarious night with funny man Rob Schneider at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center on Thursday, May 30th.
People in their 40s are always putting on their sweatpants with no intention at all of working out. You want to go out, honey? Yeah, let me put on my sweatpants. I'll be able to go out.
A household name and bona fide comedy star, Rob Schneider is well known for his trademark blend of character and comedic acting and has become one of the most popular touring acts in comedy. Schneider created and currently stars in the Netflix sitcom Real Rob and has also starred in hit movies like Deuce Bigelow and The Hot Chick. And you can catch him in the Netflix series of SNL. You will not want to miss this hysterical night of stand-up live at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Thursday, May 30th. Tickets for this night of laughter start at just $25. For tickets or to reserve your stay at our hotel, call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Must be 21 to attend this show. For more information, download the Wind River app.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is a comprehensive preschool learning environment where everyone is respected and included.
Rancheria is really good. You know, they do a lot of stuff with the community and for the families. And especially a Head Start like this, they give 150% towards the kids. It's a really awesome program.
The program is planting seeds. They get more education here, so this is a great, great Head Start.
What I really like about the Head Start is they're really into their culture. They work on their language, both Wintu and Pitt River.
The Reading Rancheria is giving people an opportunity to grow, helping build this community into a stronger place. And they're very proud of their heritage.
Coming together for the kids in education, it's powerful.
The Reading Rancheria Head Start program is free to those eligible. Learn more and enroll at readingrancheria.com.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Why'd you come in here looking like that in your cowboy boots and your painted old jeans? All decked out like a cowboy dream. Why'd you come in here looking like that?
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. I love rodeo. I love rodeo. I love what it stands for. I love, you know, I know people are going, oh, animals, yes. And but I tell you what, if there's reincarnation, I want to come back as a buck and bull. I travel all over the country, get fed. I work 3 minutes a year. Get to travel, get turned out. They bring in nice-looking heifers. You know, so, I mean, I know people look at me strange when I talk like that. Like Jared's looking at me strange when I'm talking like this. Jared likes rodeo. You know what? I think it's just America, Americana. You know, they come out, people stand for the flag, national anthem. People say the Pledge of Allegiance. There's a prayer, you know, for our country in these. And the participants are the types of people that, yeah, those cowboy hats are off. It's truly a sport, an individual sport where they help each other, even knowing that the other person may beat them, but they're going to help them and tell them how that bull bucks. They're going to they'll use the same horse many times in the bulldogging events because the horse is good. And of course the owner gets a percentage of it, but the owner is also participating in this too. So and people, the animals are abused. Well, animals are not abused. The animals are not abused. There's nothing in there that they don't do on their own, in the sense of they're not teaching them to do some kind of strange trick, or it's not a 300-pound person in spandex riding their horse around a ring and saying that the horse is really enjoying that. So, okay, I was on my soapbox. Last month was Sexual Assault Month, and we had many guests talking about, Sexual Assault Month, the things that are happening, a number of people that are sexually assaulted, and that, what's being done. So you think you're making strides forward to helping people. Okay, come on out, talk about it. And that things are going to be done. People will be punished for doing this. Well, of course, when that happens, and then you have a couple of cases you have a couple of cases like happened in the last week. A guy by the name of Shane Peach admitted to raping a 14-year-old girl who rode the school bus that he drove. 14 years old, he takes her back to his house, lures her back to the house, gives her alcohol, and then rapes her. Now, that to me seems pretty serious. First of all, he's your bus driver. He's around these kids all the time, and he does like this. What was his sentence, though? His sentence was no time in jail at all. He got no time in jail, and he's on probation. This is after raping a 14-year-old girl. And then you start finding out things. Out of every 1,000 rapes, that 995 perpetrators will never be incarcerated. And, he's not the only one. Like I said, last summer, he invited the 14-year-old victim back to his home, gave her alcohol, raped her in Jefferson County, New York. And the judge sentenced the 26, now he's 26, he sentenced him to 10 years probation. 10 years probation, saying he had no prior arrest and only one victim. Only one victim. So if he had killed her, can they use the same thing? He's only killed one person. What's he done to a 14-year-old's life? He pleaded guilty to third-degree rape. And I'm not even sure what third-degree rape is. Whether it's and he has to register as a level one sex offender, indicating that that there's a low risk of committing the crime again, and his full address will not be available. And he says the judge's assumption that there's only one victim ignores the reality that most sexual crimes are never reported. So then you see this. So some girl gets sexually assaulted, and she sees this guy walk away, 26-year-old walk away from raping a 14-year-old. If nothing else, they ought to put him in jail, the big jail, for like 6 months. Let him find out what rape's like. Let him find out what it's like to be held down and raped. Because I have a feeling because things like this happen when you start doing things like this with children, and a 14-year-old is still a child. I don't care what you say. It's still a child. Maybe he needs to feel like what that was like. And then here's the second case, which is even worse. You think to yourself, it's horrible. How can that be worse? Well, how about this? There's this guy named Wasilowski from North Carolina. He's 33. He held a 17-year-old North Carolina girl captive and sexually assaulted her for a year. He kept her in a dog cage. She was found malnourished and suffering from back problems because she was kept in a dog cage, her father said. As a victim impact statement, the victim said the damage caused to her was beyond imagination. Since her rescue, she has tried to attempt suicide three separate times. He pleads guilty to first-degree cruelty. Get this, first-degree cruelty toward a child and interstate interference with custody. His rape and aggravated sodomy charges were dropped in the plea deal, and the judge, Timothy Hamill, sentenced Wasilowski to 10 years. With 8 months in jail, which he had already served in the Gwinnett County Detention Center before his trial. He'll also spend the remainder of his sentence on probation, and he will permanently register as a sex offender. No time in jail, except for the 8 months he was in there. So, he walked out of court with his family yesterday and met his probation officer. What in the hell is going on here? In a case of sexual slavery or a bus driver taking advantage of a little girl, the message these judges are sending, you can get away with it. Now, what's that do to girls that have been sexually molested or raped and they see things like this? The guy's going to walk and I've got to go through hell because I've got to go through all the statements and then I've got to face this person who did this to me in court. But at least if you face him in court and the judge turns and says, oh, you know, you've only raped one 14-year-old girl. I think 14 years in prison, one for each year of that young girl, is appropriate. And I want you in the general population there. I don't want you kept. I don't want you kept in the special area. I want you out in the general population. Trust me, justice will be served. And this other guy, for a year, he keeps her in a dog cage, rapes, sodomizes her. And he walks out. That girl is not walking away. She is not walking away. Attempted suicide already three times. I would hope that if anything like that ever happened in this county, God forbid, that the judge would hammer the hell out of somebody like that. I even hate talking about this because what are people thinking? What are people thinking when this happens after everything that has been written, everything that has been shown about sexual assault, the numbers of it, and these guys did it. He sniffed my hair. No, this was not sniffing hair. This was rape, sodomy, and no jail time. And you wonder why people are starting to lose faith in the legal system. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, Carl. That was a great excerpt you just did. On Monday night at 2570 South Bonnie View Road, our sheriff will be there, and we believe the police chief of Anderson also. We're going to have them both in. We want to encourage the public to come. It will start at 6 o'clock, 2570 South Bonnie View Road, and both the sheriff and the chief of police of Anderson will be talking about the Navigation Center, their visions of it.
Right. That's Mike Johnson. And Mike, I've had, of course, Danelle Ewerts on from Health and Human Services, had Dr. Ronald Reese on talking about it, that we need to do something about this homeless problem. Now, but the other thing about that can't just be, let's hope we can get them in there. The other part, and this is what Chief Johnson and, Chief Johnson and Sheriff Basenko and Chief Moore are all agreeing on, is that we need something there. We need that adult rehabilitation center that we can take people off the street, get them in there, get them off the drugs, get them off the alcohol, and then start that treatment and then move them over to the place. And I think that's what they're calling it now, is the place.
Well, yeah, and I agree. I think it's really good. I love what Chief Johnson talked about the accountability once they go in there. The challenge we have is there are so many criminals. I mean, we can't, and I know you've done this before in your program, and I'm so glad you have. there is a difference between someone who's homeless and someone who's mentally ill and someone who's a criminal.
Absolutely.
And there are gobs and gobs of criminals on the street, and those are the guys that are really causing most of the problems. I mean, you know, yeah, you know, you can try to dry them out from whatever they're doing, but I mean, some of these guys are just, they're basically career.
Yeah, they've come out of Susanville, they've come out of other places, they're up here.
Los Angeles.
They're out here in like, and let's just use Henderson Open Space. And you've got some guy out there that's charging rent. He's taking money from people that get SSI, that they all walk down there together. The guy gets his check, he goes someplace to cash it, and they're already waiting there to take his money from him. He's got prostitution running, he's got drugs running. The guy's like a king in some of these places. And so, you know, this is what we're talking about, you know, getting rid of these people, putting these people in jail. The people that need help, yes, absolutely. But if they are if they're criminals or they do not want help, they just want to keep sponging off society, it's time to cut these people loose and push them out of our community.
I agree. And I think that also, you know, I think that people would be for a half cent or a cent sales tax to build a jail. Frankly, if you do a jail, why would you need a navigation center? You could do these programs in the jail, similar to what they're doing in Rhode Island. And so I mean, the navigation center is a great idea, but we can build a jail and do everything there. And, again, it's
use all that money. Yeah, use the money for the jail. Yeah, hey, let's just build one.
Well, point is that it's the trust of where the money would go, my friend.
Yeah. No,
it's not
I understand
the idea of
people
wanting to pay money to do something. I think that the people of Anderson proved that they have trust in their city council, they have trust in their mayor, they have trust in their police department, they have trust in their police chief. I mean, frankly, Roger's been a great police officer, but I mean, he's 49 years old, he's retiring. Now we got to look for another police chief. I mean, we just had Paletti. He's gone. I mean, how the stability, I mean, when we really have to start looking at the elephant in the room. These guys are dropping like flies, the people that were hiring as chiefs.
Well, you know what, and I think, I don't know if you heard earlier that the longevity of them has been dropping, except for Paletti, ever since Blankenship was here. Hey, buddy, got Congressman LaMoffa on the other line.
Great, thank you.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Terry. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Congressman LaMoffa.
Save the date for Friday, May 10th as Wind River Resort and Casino and FaithWorks host Redding's 7th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Bacon and Brew fans unite and taste an array of bacon-inspired appetizers, entrees, and desserts provided by restaurants from around the area. What would bacon be without a cold one? Sample a variety of specialty microbrews from area breweries. You are the judges at this savory event as vendors compete for $500 cash. Bring your appetite and be ready to quench your thirst at Redding's 7th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Plus, the band Uptown will be performing live, so you can boot, scoot, and boogie while satisfying your hunger and tossing back a cold one. Tickets $20 per person, tastings included with purchase. Save the date for Friday, May 10th for the 7th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest from 6 to 9 p.m. 100% of the proceeds will go to FaithWorks, a local nonprofit. For details, contact group sales at 530-339-7412. Download the Wind River app. Bacon and Brew is better at the river.
Shasta Tambourine presents the annual Boomtown Festival celebrating the people of Shasta Lake City and the community they love Saturday, May 4th. Begin with pancake breakfast 6 to 10 a.m. at the Shasta Lake Fire Hall, followed by the Boomtown Parade. Entries free online. Party in the park all day with live music, free kids activities, health and craft fair, and plenty of food and drinks all in Claringo Park. Enjoy the Art Walk and Farmers Market 4:30 to 9 p.m. For more information, go online to ShastaDambourine.org and follow their Facebook page. Celebrate the heritage of Shasta Lake City at the Shasta Tambourine Boomtown Festival this Saturday.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you.
Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'd like to tell you about my husband, Assemblyman Brian Daly. He's a great father and husband who's working hard to protect the North State families.
Megan Daly.
Brian knows unexpected bills and high taxes hurt families, so he took action to reduce prescription drug costs and pass legislation to keep hospitals from overcharging patients. He stood up to the special interests to protect Proposition 13 and defeated $29 billion in new taxes.
Brian Daly is endorsed by the California Professional Firefighters and California Highway Patrolmen's Association.
Brian led the fight against sanctuary cities that protect illegal immigrant criminals. He also led efforts to prevent wildfires by improving forest management, reducing firefighter response times, and making PG&E better maintain utility lines. Brian might snore like a buffalo, but I sleep well knowing he made families safer and kept taxes down.
On June 4th, vote Brian Daly for Senate. He'll protect the North State.
Paid for by Brian Daly for Senate, 2019.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. On the phone is Congressman Doug Lamoff. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Carl. How are you doing?
Well, I thought you didn't love us anymore up here for a second. Okay. I need to know, what's it like to be on Air Force One? I know it's not your first time, but I don't think I've ever asked you about it.
Well, yeah, it was back in November when we invited the president out to look at the fire situation here in Northern California, which, you know, interestingly, when he came to Reading was that late May or early June of...
Yeah.
I think it was May 2016.
Oh, God, it was 140 out on the tarmac.
Oh, yeah, it was plenty. It was a lot of people passed out that day. They're hauling them
off.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Thankfully, nobody too bad that I remember. Anyway, so we got to speak for a couple minutes there. And what my wife noticed about it is that he actually really listened, paid attention, and paid attention to, you know, meeting my kids and stuff, which was pretty awesome. My son, you know, who's taller than me, looked him right in the eye and spoke with them and stuff. So anyway, what we talked about was, Mr. Trump, but... The three main things around here don't make a lot of sense to me. It's why we're not doing more forest management, why we're not saving more water, and why we're not doing better by our veterans. If we could work on those three topics, you know, VA and all those three items, we'd be hitting a big home run around here. So,
yeah.
I agree, you know. So, anyway, getting them out here on Air Force One, but not just so much the plane ride, but just that he's paying pretty close attention to Northern California. He's had his secretaries out here a couple different occasions for the car fire when he had Homeland Security and Interior and Ag secretaries all here for the car, and then similarly for the Paradise campfire later on. So, but yeah, as far as just riding Air Force One and being part of that, it's pretty amazing. I pinch myself at the stuff I get to do sometimes in this role here. But
yeah.
In itself, you know, I mean, getting on that plane, you know, you get on ahead of time, and then there's about 15 TVs in the plane there. And interestingly, he has them all tuned to Fox News, but you can actually have the extreme feeling of seeing the airplane sitting on the tarmac there and knowing that you're inside of it as they're doing the live coverage of the president taking off. So figure that out. But getting out here to do these important topics, see them firsthand, and so, you know, show people helps on the way. Going back again to the Paradise fire where we landed at Beale Air Force Base down by Marysville, and then the border situation with the fly to El Centro, one of the bases down there, and then traveling over to Calexico and looking at the work that's being done on actually building that border fence, and how much, just what a big difference that makes, meeting with the Border Patrol personnel and hearing them just implore us how important it is to continue with that fence work. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it makes their job 90% easier by having basically the funneling effect of people that would try to break into the country having to go to more portals or more, you know, focused areas. And then after that, a subgroup of us, being a couple other House members, we got a helicopter ride from Calexico westward towards the coast of San Diego to look at how the rest of the fence, or lack of fence, how that situation looks. And the rugged mountain terrain, too, which is enlightening, because, you know, the average listener might think, like, well, they can build the fence up to the mountains, and they can just go around through the mountains, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's miles and miles and miles of very, very rough terrain there. So, yeah, some hardy souls, they can do that, but
the vast majority won't make that. Yeah.
Cut the numbers, and cut the odds of the situation. The more we do that way, the more it helps.
I think that people that have the walls there are telling them 90% of their problem goes away. 90% of the problem goes away when you have the walls there.
It really does.
Hey,
so, you know, you'll hear people argue like, "Oh, all this money spent upon that and such." Well, we're spending 100 times more on the cost to our society of all this. You know, we're a sovereign country that has every right and an obligation to protect its borders. And what they always try to, you know, muddle the conversation is, well, we like immigrants. We're about immigration. Well, we like legal immigration, and they will never acknowledge that on the other side, you know, or seldom, at least in the press.
Right. But they will. But they will. They will admit it's an emergency, but yet not, you know, like the Homeland Security guy for Obama said, we have an emergency going on down there. And yet it seems not to get the coverage that it should.
Well, because the Dems have lined up to be all in on not giving Trump a win or not acknowledging that is an issue, which I don't know how they keep getting away with that. It's amazing to me that the policy positions that they can take, and there doesn't seem to be a price to pay for that in the public mind, you know.
Well, you know, but it's kind of shifting gears a little bit. I think I saw some bipartisan movement when Schumer and Pelosi met with President Trump on the infrastructure. What's your take on that? You know, because it seemed like they were all agreeing that, hey, this is something that needs to go forward, and they all came out of there saying, like, yeah, hey, we played well together.
Well, excuse me for being cynical for just a moment, okay? Because I haven't seen anything genuine coming out of Schumer and Pelosi in some time with this president, you know. So,
yeah.
I think they're trying to set him up for tax increases.
Because it is something like wasn't it $2 trillion you're talking about?
$2 trillion worth of spending is what their general outline was.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure we can point to $2 trillion that we're behind on, broken bridges and or almost broken bridges and
mm-hmm.
highways that are worn out and levees that need to be beefed up and water infrastructure, the whole shebang. So what I hope to hear coming out of that, and as I started to mention, we had a yesterday after votes at the end of this week's session, we had a bipartisan working group that went over to the Library of Congress, and it really was a genuine effort. A good group of Democrats and Republicans, you know, about 20 of us in a room there just talking about what is it we can figure out that we can get done around here. You know, I talked about low-hanging fruit. What is the stuff we can agree on that gets caught up in a bigger, always caught up in a bigger conversation, we don't pass anything, and then a whole two-year session goes by, and we didn't get nothing done on, that was good English, we didn't get anything done on infrastructure or border or anything. So why don't we find the low-hanging fruit that Republicans and Democrats can work on and actually accomplish, because we know we already agree. And we talked about, like, well, hey, that's sometimes that stuff is held hostage to be the sweetener in a bigger bill so it'll pass with the stuff that nobody wants to pass.
Yeah.
Well, if we end up passing nothing, why don't we as a group bipartisanly in numbers say, look, we're going to go take this low-hanging fruit and we're going to get it done, because we want to show the American people that we can get things done that actually effectively will
have an impact.
Help them,
yeah,
right?
Would be an impact.
So, you know, in that, so I, you know, the infrastructure deal, and so what I need to hear on the infrastructure side is, yes, I know we need to build it, you know, we're going to have to spend money on it, but what is going to be done to reform the process of getting it done so that every time the EPA or somebody else shows up looking for some reason to fine the project or hold up the project or you need a CEQA, you know, a Californian environmental document or a NEPA, which is a national environmental document, that just costs a bunch of money and slows things down, and you don't really learn anything from the document other than you have 90,000 pages of
document
information that nobody reads, like such as on the Delta. They got 90,000 pages on the Twin Tunnels of environmental stuff. Now Gavin Newsom has decided he's going to knock it down from two tunnels to one, which, you know, is fine with me, but we've wasted, you know, tens of millions of dollars so far investigating that. What is there to investigate that at some point on all this environmental spending, you know, salvaging trees, etc.? What do you figure out by doing yet another document? You want to change a culvert on a Forest Service road? You have to do a NEPA document on that? That's really stupid.
Hey, Congressman, we need to take a quick break, but we got a caller in here. So, hey, Nick, you got a question for the congressman? Hello, Nick. You got a question for Congressman LaMalfa?
Yeah, I'm on now.
You're on now.
Hey, Congressman, I wanted you to explain to us your working relationship with Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi. Do they reach out to you? And do they respect your opinion on Northern California? Thanks, buddy.
That's you know what? That's an interesting question.
Maxine and Nancy, the most I've ever really gotten out of them is they signed my petition to get the post office in MacArthur named for a great lady up there that the community wanted to name the post office for. That's really about as far as we got on the bipartisan with those two. That doesn't mean, you know, we don't find other people, you know. Jim Costa from the Valley, we're working on water. Yep. John Garamendi is next door to me here. We work on water and levees and things like that. So, you know, Salud Carbajal from down there on the Central Coast. We worked on some several issues, and we were at the same group yesterday. So, you know, there's a lot of other folks that you can get things done with. I'm sorry, but Maxine Waters and Mrs. P seem to be more playing for being outrageous on camera. Kind of like watching this thing with Attorney General Barr here.
You know what? We do have to take a quick break. I'd like to get your feelings on this one, on Barr, and also the congresswoman from Minnesota. Some of the things she says, I mean, as a veteran, as a member of the military, as somebody who went into Somalia, and you know, part of the boots
that
on the ground.
Klobuchar, the senator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Have you heard the latest? Gavin Newsom and his liberal allies want to overturn Prop 13 so they can raise property taxes. They even want a new tax on our water. That's why we need Kevin Kiley in the state Senate. Kevin Kiley is the only candidate for Senate with a perfect rating from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. Kevin Kiley will fight to stop Newsom's water tax and save Prop 13. Republican Kevin Kiley, the tax fighter for state Senate.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
Extreme Bulls, Bullfighters Only, Barrels, Chuck Wagon Races, and Kids Mutton Busting. Wednesday, May 15th, the bull riding returns to the Reading Rodeo sponsored by Crown Motors. Opening night is wild with extreme bull riding, matching the toughest bulls with top-notch competitors. Speed and grace with women's barrel racing, insane Chuck Wagon Racing, and Kids Mutton Busting. Count on Reading Rodeo for action-packed thrills and excitement. Book your tickets for Bull Riding Rodeo and Steak Feed at ReadingRodeo.com or at the Rodeo Ticket Office.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in our last segment here on Friday, the 3rd of June. It's about 64 degrees out there, going up into 83. We have Congressman LaMalfa with us today. And Congressman, what I was talking about was the congresswoman from Michigan or Wisconsin, the Somali, who's had all these statements about 9/11 being something those people did, and then how the military killed, you know, thousands of people during the battle there of Mogadishu. And she's been saying a lot of different things that have just been, just has just has dominated the news with her take on things there. Hello, Congressman? Hello, Congressman LaMoffa?
Hello?
Yep, hello. Okay, you're back.
That was a fairly quick ad. I walked away for a minute.
Okay, look, I was talking. I walk away a lot around here. Hey, I was talking about the Congresswoman, the Somali, that has had all these statements she has made about.
You're talking about Ilhan Omar from Minnesota. Okay.
Yes, that's who I'm talking about. What is. It seems like there's like two that are getting they're garnering all these headlines. What do the rest of the Democrats think about them?
Well, the press is definitely playing to them. You got AOC,
yeah, right?
You know, who says something ridiculous all the time, and you have Omar and that Rashida Tlaib, who both are always saying really outrageous things that are anti-Semitic or basically anti-American, and then. You know, so these seem to be the rising stars for the Democrats, or at least as promoted by the media, because the media likes to report things that are salacious and would make headline grabbers and get people wound up. So,
Pelosi.
What do the Dems think about it? Well, I think Mrs. P is pretty uncomfortable with what AOC keeps saying. And
She slapped her down a couple of times.
Yeah, kind of has. You know, but that has only given her more power.
Yeah.
I mean, for AOC. I mean. Her office, for people listening, that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We get, you know, this
right.
That she's so well 17, known now with this AOC thing.
17,000 people voted for her.
I don't know the number on that. I looked that up and I thought it was a lot higher number. But anyway, it was her office is actually on the same wing of the same building, the Cannon building. I'm on the third floor. She's on the second in the hallway below mine.
Uh-huh.
And so I happened to walk that hallway a while back. She has got, like, you know, post-it notes all around her door that her fans come by and write stuff on there. One of the notes says, down with capitalism, yay socialism, you know, so saying what an amazing leader she is and all this. So don't take this lightly. There's a mania out there following this, and there's a mania of people out there that are buying into socialism. It's there, man.
Oh, well, it seems like the presidential candidates are all kind of buying into things like this. The new green plan that she has, I mean, it would destroy the economy.
Plan, and they threw it out there, and then they backpedaled from about as fast as they could. She had like 20 senators and about 80 House members or so that signed on to whatever that plan was. And she has grouchy old white guy senators standing with her at her press conference. Buying into this thing. Guys that have been there for 40 years, 30 years, that are that can't wait to jump on that bandwagon with her. So this is really quite a phenomena that is happening with this deal. And I might see it right here in my own backyard with my opposition coming up for this congressional seat here. My
Audrey.
Opponent. She has already signed on with the Green New Deal, posted at a little confab down in Chico here the other day. So
that'd be interesting.
I mean, it's everywhere, and there's people grabbing onto it.
The situation in Venezuela.
Let's jump back to Omar real quick.
Okay,
you might have heard about a resolution that was going through the House.
No, I don't know.
Anti-Semitic statement she made.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And the resolution, by the time it started from something that was going to be specific to that and through her actions, it got so watered down from infighting from the Democrats, it ended up being a catch-all, you know, basically about being against hate for this group, that group, every other group. And it was actually an insult from what it was. It was just ended up being kind of a smorgasbord of make everybody happy, when it really, in my view, was an insult to the Jewish people that were the targets of this, and they're target of so much of this stuff, you know, with the BDS movement on college campuses and everything that seems to be in vogue here and in Western Europe and around, you know, the Middle East, on being anti-Jewish. So I was one of 23 people that voted no on that watered-down resolution because I was just going to make a statement on that. So you may hear later that LaMalfa's for hate because they voted against the watered-down, insulting, anti-hate resolution because it wasn't what it was started
out. No, you're right. That's going to be a 30-second bite.
Yeah, they'll try and use that, but
you neo-Nazi, you.
I have a, well, shoot. you know. But I have a Republican, at least one Republican Jewish colleague from Long Island, Mr. Zeldin, who felt the same way about it. So that told me that I was probably in the right ballpark on that. And just my instinct thought it was like, no, I'm not supporting this trash. So that's kind of, you know, to finish out with your first thought on Ilhan Omar, I saw a bit, I think, in this morning's news round I was reading that I think Ben Shapiro was one of the ones who challenged her to say something nice about America, because she never does.
You know,
her country of slavery or genocide or this or that. You know, we've had our bad moments, but, you know, anyway. You want to talk about Venezuela?
Yeah, and just last thought on her is, you know, that she escaped from Somalia because her clan was going to get wiped out, and which is when I, you know, I went there with 20,000 of my closest Marine friends to try and save that country. But, we saved a whole generation of them, but now they're just as bad, if not worse. But she got over here to America and was enabled by the way this country is to be a success, and yet here she is, you know, kind of biting the hand that feeds her. So, yeah, but what about Venezuela?
Well, yeah, absolutely. So she has nothing good to say about what we have here, yet everybody wants to come here. You know, I see these memes out there saying, like, you know, showing a Muslim woman that says, well, basically I can be, abused and forced to keep my mouth shut where I come from, so I'm coming over here to fight and tear down this country so I can turn it into a country where I can be abused and be forced to keep my mouth shut in this country. You know, tell me the logic of why so many people are grasping on to that being a great idea here. I don't understand either.
Are we going to get involved in Venezuela?
I think probably on an advisory level or on a, you know, what we can do to help from the outside. I don't see us doing a military intervention down there. This needs to come organically from within inside, and I think you're seeing it. So I think the U.S. will offer support Guaido down there, and help make that happen because it's the right thing. You're already seeing that support in at least verbally and
mm-hmm.
advisory role, but I think it's the right thing because, you know, we have a problem in Central America with a lot of things, and, you know, if you want to talk about the root cause of this massive migration coming towards our border, you have some of the pieces are in that, as well as in Honduras and other areas. So if you want to fix something, address it at the root of the problem. When you're talking about Syria, you know, you find out that most folks that are leaving would like to stay where they are if they could tolerate where they're living. So the refugee status is such that they'd like to stay there. Now, you do have other people trying to colonize Western Europe or even colonize here as per some of their doctrine. But, you just take average refugees. If you can help them where they live, and that's the type of thing we need to find out to do. How do we help instill things in their governing process without, you know, forming a government or country building or whatever, nation building, whatever you call it, but just help instill that in them. You kind of like what we should be doing in Iran as well. There's many, many people, and I've met with someone in Iran that would love to overthrow that theocratic government they have there and put in place something that is what they, you know, it used to be a pretty great country, you know. I mean, the Shah wasn't always the greatest guy and stuff, but back until 79, they were a very open country, thriving, and had a pretty darn good relationship with the U.S. And so, you know, if they could see what they had before 79, they would probably like to grasp that. But
the whole thing is, we've only got like about, a minute left, Congressman. What do you see, anything that's moving down the road here that's going to be helping us? From the House.
We're working with the White House and working with the executive branch. We're getting things done. We're not getting much useful done in Congress. You know, the first 100 days of Democrat control in the House has been about making resolutions, about doing messaging bills and things like that. So, you know, what I'm hoping is, like, again, with our bipartisan working group, these are good folks in there, Dems and Reaps, that are just trying to find some solutions here. We'll have to all of us overcome some of the reticence at the top to get it done, you know, leadership. And I think, again, the Dems at the top levels, you got different types. You know, you got the top levels, they're the political folks and their party and stuff. But you got real people that want to get things done. If we can overcome some of that, we can accomplish some things. But they're so focused on 2020. They're so focused every day on tearing down Trump. You know, you saw with these Senate hearings with the Attorney General Barr here. I mean, you know, Mazie Hirono, the senator from Hawaii, then our own elected Kamala Harris.
Yeah, is there something
wrong
with her?
They were just looking for any excuse to say, you need to resign, Attorney General Barr. If he was double parked, they would have said, oh, you need to resign. They were just waiting for that moment. No wonder he doesn't take him seriously. And then on the House side, the Democrat leadership, you know, they were going to have Barr be subject to staff lawyers asking him questions instead of the job of Congress doing so. So he said, I'm not coming under these conditions. So they brought a bucket of chicken, and one of those guys sat there and ate chicken in Barr's.
You know what? It is so childish. Yeah.
You know? I mean, this is a clown show these guys are. And I'm glad Barr told them no, because why would he be part of that?
Hey, Congressman, we got to run here. But thanks a lot for giving us a call and kind of clearing up some of these things. And we have to up here in Northern California keep our eyes out, because things are changing quick up here.
Yes, they are. Hold on to what is dear, and don't buy any wooden nickels from these folks.